Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
From its discovery to its importance around Jupiter and more, join us as we explore Callisto, Jupiter's moon.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Daslow, and joining me as always...
Ben Vanel here, Tommy. Looking forward to this great episode of our podcast about video games. So many things to talk about.
How can you be looking forward to it and already know that it's great?
There's just something about Ben in shorts and a bucket hat and then really talking with the cadence like he is on Rex Hunt's fishing adventures. Just
come on,
placid.
Boys. Listen, stop fighting. We're going to go out and have a fish.
I'm looking for... there's a lot to talk about this week. There's genuinely a bunch of news.
There's a ton.
Couple of games that... I did put the call out for our patrons to some thoughts on so we can read some of those.
Nice.
But a couple of games that I think we were anticipating.
I was...
And now,
yeah, de-ticipating.
We'll
talk about it because there's good parts of each of them. It's weird.
Mm.
But in the meantime, a couple of things that have come out that if you want to see and hear
my
us...
My name's Adam.
That's the game that's come out that I was about to play.
That's the opposite
my name's Adam.
How I did it. I nearly forgot my name's Adam. Rex Hunt at the end of the episode being like, oh, by the way.
It's Rex.
Yeah, yibbity yibbity, that's all. Oh, it's Rex Hunt. It's Rex.
Get that fish back. It'll have lipstick on it. You know which one it is.
Warhammer Darktide.
Yes.
Warhammer 40,000, please.
Oh, pardon
Dark
me.
Tide.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's not in the past like Warhammer.
No.
It's 40,000 or 38,000 years in the future,
Distant future, there is only war.
Mm.
And in the present, there is only one house in the neighborhood you can go into in Hello Neighbor 2, which we also had a look at. We put videos up of... Or the Hello Neighbor video is up and the Dark Tide one will come later on. There's more thoughts in those, but... Just from a brief little tickle of them.
Mm-hmm.
Darktide seems like fun.
Yeah.
Co-op,
yeah.
Left 4 Dead type of horde mode thing.
I think we all enjoy it a bit more than Back 4 Blood and Vampire the Masquerade, this version of that.
Yeah.
What was that called?
Blood, Alien
blood
one?
Something?
Yeah.
Because the Blood one was a little more shoot each other. Multiplayer.
That's right. That was, it was like team-based, multiplayer.
I was a bit more into Back 4 Blood.
Yeah, right.
The zombie one.
It was very much... Left 4 Dead,
yeah.
And if you'd never played Left 4 Dead, it was like, oh, this is a fun, fresh idea.
Yeah,
and this was cool. I never played Vermintide, and this is the sequel to that, the Warhammer one. And it's like, it's weird. It's chunky and sluggish, but in a very deliberate way where I think once you get a group of people who've got their head around that rhythm, you could have a really good time with it.
Yeah, a little off-putting when you first get in. It's like, oh, fucking hell, why is this character moving like he's the bloody QE2? But then...
What does that mean?
Big ship.
Yeah, what's big ship.
Yeah.
What?
The QE2.
The Queen Elizabeth 2.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not on first letter name basis with the ship.
Okay,
ship.
Sorry. What about the HMAS Cerberus? Is that more...
the what? What does the H, the A, the M and the S stand for? Not necessarily in that order.
The HAMS.
The ham. The ham Cerberus.
The ham ship. But then, like any game, if it feels a little off at the start and then you just, once you spend enough time with it, you're like, this feels natural now.
Yes,
I get it. Yeah. I get why it feels this way. It's not really a failing. It's just by design.
Mm. They're both on Game Pass is why we had a little look on them. They got putting up recently.
Mm.
Yeah, Hello Neighbor 2. Escape Room. Sequel to a very poorly received, we found out, first entry.
You're
solving little environmental puzzles. It took us a very long time to work out exactly what we were meant to be doing.
Yeah.
But then I think we were having a good time until a bug broke the game and we had to bail out.
Yeah,
exactly. We played each one for about an hour and those YouTube videos will be there. Go have a look at them on the YouTube channel if you want to know what those kind of go like or have a look at Game Pass.
Yeah,
and have a go for yourself and get in while the getting's good on Game Pass because the price is probably going to go up soon.
Yeah.
It's the price of Xbox games is going up to match what they already are on the PS5 and stuff.
Yep.
That like 125 amount here and 70 in the US. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of whispering.
Okay.
A lot of if you're going in through the back corridors of the Xbox building, you're hearing a lot of people going, how the fuck did you get in here?
Yeah, wouldn't you, if you're in the back corridors, you're probably whispering even if everything's good, right?
You hear a lot of people saying, my name's Ben Vanell and today we're going to talk about video games on this podcast.
Why are you wearing your dress like that kid out of Pokemon? You got the bucket hat and the shorts.
Is a lie.
That will probably be going up a bit too. Which
yeah, I was wondering.
Is a rumor, but the $70 thing is confirmed.
Well, you know what they say about rumors? They're always true.
That's true.
I was wondering if it was
started out as a rumor. Yeah.
If they were going to try and use it to funnel people towards Game Pass,
maybe.
Like, because Game Pass is hugely profitable for them. Like, it's doing $1 billion in revenue, maybe. If not profits,
I think it was even more revenue. And it's. Because there was a while there before they released any numbers where people were questioning, like, are they in a dire situation with this? Is this a big money sink?
Is it worth it? Yeah.
And I think it was because of the Activision merger, right? That all of those numbers kind of came out in court, which they're still going on with. And like,
That was the other thing from Xbox. Yeah.
Phil Spence.
They're getting so bitchy.
It's fun. but Phil Spence is being passive aggressive.
Guys, should we? Is it too early to start thinking about the film adaptation of this court case?
Oh.
Should we pull our resources and try and get a dramatic reenactment of this off the ground?
Yeah.
We're just scripting it in real time as it's happening.
Oh, my cousin Voodoo Vinny.
Okay.
You can call it that. So, yeah, it's like the fact that PlayStation...
I would call it the console wars, right? That's a nice, easy title. Like The Social Network.
Was that... What
simple.
Happened with that one Seth Rogen was going to be doing about like...
About the actual console wars of
yeah,
like...
Yeah, was
early
it about
days?
Sega and Nintendo?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Do you remember that? Or was that about Tetris, the Seth Rogen thing?
Don't know. Think I would remember that, given it's really relevant to our lives.
You and your kids must have chatted about it on the boat at some point, out on the tinny.
But I do think this will be a great movie. I'm in.
Yeah,
so let's write it.
The thing they said this week was because of all the stuff going on with Sony trying to have a hand in blocking the Xbox Activision merger thing, they said about Call of Duty that it will be on Switch or on Nintendo platforms and on Steam for at least the next 10 years.
Yes.
They committed to that. And then, like, Nintendo in Japan, I think their Twitter account was like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
And, like, Gabe Newell tweeted back and then being like, nice. It seems like they're really trying very hard to throw everything at the wall they can to be like, This isn't Monopoly shit at all. Don't worry about it. It's, you can call it auntie trust. Who do you trust more than an auntie? Which I don't think is a good argument, but it's their argument.
Mm.
I
would say
weird.
Probably my gut feeling is that the price of Game Pass, they wouldn't fuck with.
That's
maybe
what
not,
I thought as well.
Because it's like, it's doing, you know, it's like, cost of games is a lot. The games themselves, it's like the cost of manufacturing them and getting them into the shops. There's a cost to them there that's going up incrementally. Whereas the service of Game Pass, probably not so much. And it's doing so well that I can imagine. And it is still such a relatively new thing in the landscape. I can see there being the attitude of like, hey, let's not fuck with this. Because, you know, PS Plus, they tried to shift their whole model around
and
it absolutely fucked them.
Yeah.
And they would have looked at that.
They lost, 40 million users. Yeah.
They would have looked at that and gone, you know what? We got
to
just hold here. Like, the time will come when there's, you know, Netflix are now, they're starting to fuck around with pricing stuff where
thing.
You pay a bit less to have ads and stuff. But that's, I think that's a lot more bedded in than there's a lot more streaming services now where they can go, oh, okay, it's a bit more, you know.
Right, yes. Netflix, they've been around for like, what, 10 years or something?
Yeah.
As the streaming service, more even probably.
More with the disc service.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I assumed. You're like, well, if you increase the price of buying outright first party Microsoft Xbox games, then that will just incentivize people to go to Game Pass even more.
Yeah.
It will be more of a savings.
Well, and it's not that they're pushing their games out past anyone else either.
No,
like,
no.
The fact that PS5 games from pretty much the jump were 70.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Microsoft's been taking a while to do that. But yeah, they must be watching the reception to Netflix and things like that, increasing their price, because everything's increasing their prices. Hardware is all increasing.
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
There's
the price of bloody milk, mate.
And people seem to be not necessarily accepting it, but like not pushing too firmly back against it.
Yeah, which is crazy.
No wonder you're out there fishing.
Yeah.
Because the milk is so expensive. Way,
yeah, to Sorry. Get milk is out of a fish.
Right.
I got a fish, Greg. Right. Can you milk me?
Oh. Yeah, instead of milk, I'm having squid ink.
Yeah, exactly. The milk of the sea.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird because, we can talk about inflation going up at a rate different to wages and shit, but the fact that people
are...
Yeah, it is.
It is, and everything is getting very, very hard to afford.
Very fucked by it is everyone,
yes.
Says Yoda. But
very fucked by it is everyone.
What are you doing here?
You're right.
Cargo is high enough for Yoda.
One of the big things that Microsoft has going alongside its name at the moment is that if you're looking for something high value, a Series S with Game Pass... Take it from Sophie Monk, your favorite advertising campaign to date.
Yep.
She did Xbox ads. But like the thing they're spruiking, or like that's a deal with Telstra too, is you can get this cheap.
Yeah.
You can get a Series S and a game subscription for $30 a month in Australia, $33, which is not bad at all.
Yeah.
It is a great move because they do, Xbox has
including
like,
the console. Like, you it's that program.
Yeah, yeah.
And just being, because like, marketing it to like the family member who wants to do right by their kid and doesn't quite, doesn't want to fuck it up, doesn't want to quite, and I don't know if you guys have this, but I've been getting in the last month texts from some friends who are parents who are like, all right, getting the kid a console for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking Switch because it's, the one that they're keen on.
Right.
What are the games to get? And what's the big one? The one that the one that came out at the start that's the big Zelda Breath of the Wild? No parent wants to be the one that like fucks it up.
Yeah.
And so the whole marketing of like,
I got you Animal Kingdom, the video game. That's the one you wanted, right?
Now that I would love.
The TV show adaptation though, not the movie.
Oh boy.
No,
Grandma. You fucked it up.
It's hard to fuck it up with the Xbox sort of situation.
Exactly.
Like
that's
all of your free-to-play games that you want to play cross-platform on there.
You don't have the video rental stores anymore.
Yeah.
So, like, Game Pass functions as that, which was my favorite thing as a kid.
Right, right.
Was, like, having a weird, like, completely... Again, this is the word that Sophie Monk used in the ad, and it's clearly worked on me, but it's a smorgasbord of a bunch of different games that, like, that would have been so far up my fucking alley when I was 9 or 10.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't chew my novelty wig for the Meredith Music Festival.
I'm
thank
sorry.
You.
QB is
talking
in here,
to my
Tommy's dog.
Yeah.
Yeah,
God, this should have been a video episode. There's been a lot of visual stuff going on.
The it is just again, it just reminds you that like it's such an attractive prospect.
What is the novelty wig, by the way?
Yeah,
it's a big blonde wig.
Beautiful.
The theme for our campsite is Hen's Night.
Oh, great. I almost was thinking like hair metal or something.
I wanted
like
to go as a nude model, like a hen's party doing a life drawing class.
Yeah.
But it's going to be too cold. just the prospect of like this thing out of the box, 100 games ready to go. I mean, when we both got our Xboxes, Ben, I remember talking about that. And the stupid thing is that PlayStation do have their own version of that.
Yes.
They have their, like, if you get a PS5 now, they have their, like, whatever it's called, the legacy thing that you just get with a subscription. Like, why aren't they leaning into, who was the hot girl from Pizza?
Oh, Holly Valance or something. Yeah.
right. Yeah.
Like, if you marketed that in the same way, I reckon that's as attractive of a prospect, if not more so, because I think the games that are on the PlayStation 1 have a bit more currency, have a bit more cachet. I mean, you get like the first God of War, Persona, like all these bangers. Like if you market that to someone who's looking to get a gift and just remind, I think people don't even know that exists,
Well,
the person on the street.
We've talked about this before, I guess, but like, the price is a big difference, which you're right, maybe they would think about that. And then also not getting the new games on it makes a big difference too.
Yeah,
right.
Very true.
And getting a PS5 is like you drop an $800 and
Right.
20, yeah. Like four, whatever the those other tiers are where you do get an even bigger library.
Yeah.
Like that, if you just look at the subscription price for those, that's like kind of comparable, but you need to buy a PS5.
You're not getting the same value as is contained in a game like Elden Ring.
Yes.
Which put out a free patch today?
Yesterday came through. Big old patch, big download.
Patch that opens up those really conspicuous coliseums that were dotted all around the place.
Yeah.
That were clearly meant to be for PvP stuff.
Get that big jar out of the way. I want to go in there and fight people.
Let me fight people, not the jar. That's in there now. I haven't tried it. Have you gone in yet?
No. I started downloading it before I went to bed. So, and this morning, I was busy.
Did you check it though?
Yeah, it's finished.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited.
So glad that story has a happy ending.
Yeah. Successfully downloaded.
Kids, get down here. The update patch is installed.
Now, quick, everyone go and do other things.
Yeah. No.
We're getting on the tinny. Come on. it's... I'm not quite sure how it functions, but you can go to those arenas and do... Is it just 1v1?
No, because in the trailer there's like 3v3 matches as well. Nice. So.
They had those in Dark Souls 3, I think.
Right.
So that makes sense to bring them back.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I'd love to be able to spectate it. I think that's a feature that's not in it.
Oh, really?
Go and watch other people's matches would be fun.
You just got to go in a 3v3 and die really early.
I guess so. Well, good news.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm keen to... Like, I went back in. I like booted it up yesterday hoping it had already come through, but it came through the 7th US time, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
But went back in and, had a bit of a quiggle around, and God, it's a good game.
Elden Ring's great.
I've got like three characters going. I just had started a new one, a couple of months ago and was, wiggling around as like a level 10 guy. Like, oh yeah, the challenge is back. The big troll, he's harder to kill. But I'll crank into my level like 270 something guy and have a real nice showdown, I reckon.
You didn't do much of the PvP in the base game?
I didn't do much of any collaborative stuff at all. Like, I finished the whole game once without having anyone help me with any bosses and stuff as well. And then
you didn't call your big brother in?
No.
I did that a couple of times, but it makes you a bit underpowered or something, doesn't it?
It pumps up the boss's health.
Yeah,
usually,
and
I kind of
found at a certain point, like, oh, this is actually less. This is kind of helping me less.
Yeah. But then I did go back in and... Because, when you play through a second time with the same character, obviously, you're much stronger in comparison to everything. And, like, whipping through a playthrough... Because I think I've done 3 on one character now.
Right.
And, like, getting up to...
Fuck, this cunt loves Elden Ring.
The last... I do.
What do you reckon his game of the year is going to be?
He just keeps playing it.
The last...
Marvel's Midnight Suns.
He really likes playing it.
We'll see what he says about Midnight Suns.
Well, I platinumed it.
Yeah.
So that's what I was doing. I was going through a few times to get the different endings. And then being like, get, like, 3 people come in here and help me beat Radagon or the Beast or whatever. So I did that stuff a little bit. But, no PvP... duels.
It's cool to have this come out, and it does. I don't know what it makes me think about whether DLC soon is likely or not, because there was talk about whether the Game Awards, which is tomorrow, whether that will have
an announcement.
Yeah,
maybe we'll see.
One of their famous announcements.
World premiere.
Yeah.
World premiere.
The Bic Boy
will
presents.
It constitute
world premiere.
Part of 90% of the show's ads.
Shorter show this year, he said, but also
less ads.
Said
that's annoying.
Well, yeah. And
they had the Chicago bot, Manscaped should get in there and get the Manscaped dick bot.
I'm sure we'll do it. We'll have it on our show.
Oh.
We can premiere him here, and then we feed him into the Game Awards.
Try and get Hideo Kojima to put some. These are the rumors I've heard of the Game Awards so far, which are in like 12 hours or something.
Yeah,
when this comes out. But Metal Gear Solid Remake might get announced.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I've heard.
The Chic Hydra bot may return.
I doubt he's coming back for some reason.
I know. We really tore him to pieces.
He's
honestly
rusting in some trash pile in a dump in the US.
Yeah.
He
used himself to slit his own wrists.
Someone got him on a lot auction or something.
Yeah.
There's just like someone's house you go to and you're like, what the hell is that? And yeah. they're like, you're not into gaming, are you? And they're like, no. And they're like, all right, sit down. I'm going to queue up the Game Awards from, what was it, like 2017 or
yeah,
something?
All you got to do is walk up to them and rub your face on it. You get the closest yeah. shave you've ever had.
Oh, right. I get it now. So you've got a little replica of that. Not a replica, my friend. The actual one that's in the video.
Dress him up in a little maid's outfit and get him to bring you drinks.
Cost me $45,000 and my marriage and my kids ever talking to me again. But you know what? Best decision I ever made.
I wonder what announcements are going to be happening at the Filthy Casuals Awards.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd coming
love,
up soon.
Yeah, I'd love to have an exclusive on our Game of the Year episode.
If anyone out there is a developer and wants to give us an exclusive...
We have developers listening and people who have made games before. So
you know what?
If
I'm going to say, even if you're not a developer...
If you're just like
having, if you're having a party at the end of January and you want to get the word out,
sure,
send us $50 and we'll plug your house party.
Make a 30-second audio trailer. You know, we'll pop it in.
This is the real fucking like Triple J version of this. Like, anyone out there having a barbecue, send us a message.
Let us know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well. We are doing the Game Awards or the Filthy Casuals Game Awards. Sorry.
Yep.
In a couple of weeks' time, big wrap up of the year, and genuinely, if you are making a game. Let us know.
Please give us an exclusive.
Yeah, please.
Well, you guys, you want to...
I would love Elden Ring DLC, by the way. That's all I want.
Yeah, yeah, yes.
I've seen a bit of chatter, people thinking there'll be more Breath of the Wild info.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Sorry. Sure. Pardon. Tears of the Kingdom. Tears of the Kingdom.
Tears of the Kingdom. April or May. Yeah. May, right. May.
You think there'll be Elden Ring DLC announcement?
Maybe not there anymore. I can't tell if I think that this being dropped just before it is maybe like to get people talking about it again before announcing DLC, or if this means there won't be DLC, but they were going to announce it, but they're doing this instead now to keep the momentum going. No idea.
I reckon it's to remind, like it's the end of the year, remind people like, hey, remember this game came out earlier in the year. Lot of talk about, you know, games of the year and stuff. Mm. And obviously people who love it still love it. But I reckon maybe it's a bit of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Just
it's
to remind
very
people.
Very funny to think
Christmas.
About the developers of Elden Ring sitting there and being like, I think people might have forgotten about our game.
Yeah. I think it's probably the marketing people who are thinking that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think because maybe if that is the impetus for it happening, still could be some DLC coming next year late next year.
Who knows? Because they didn't do one for Sekiro. They've done a big DLC or a couple for every one of their games, but not the most recent one. So
yeah.
It's been such a big game, though.
It's been massive. They'd be crazy not to.
Yeah,
unless it was in favor of doing a sequel sooner.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yes. Because Sekiro was popular, but not as much as Dark Souls or Elden Ring.
And it was always kind of presented a little bit as a sort of sidesteppy thing.
Yep, the combat itself specifically is different to Dark Souls. Bloodborne obviously is a bit different as well, but yeah, Elden Ring is like, it feels like it's very much in the mold of the big hitters.
Mm. Yeah, we'll see.
Well, I'll tell you what, speaking of being reminded of things that exist now or will exist in the future.
Okay.
I got reminded that the release date for The Last of Us home box office show is fast approaching. January 15th, I think.
Yeah,
it's in
January
15th, something like that. One of those teens.
Yeah.
So pretty soon, all things considered.
Honestly, yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty soon.
And it looks all right.
Proper,
this was a longer...
Yeah, proper trailer.
Couple
the one
mins,
before was
yeah.
a bit more of a teaser. Mm-hmm. This to me really sold it as like, this is a fucking TV show.
Yeah.
This isn't just a, you know.
It's not a movie.
Well, the other one, it still looked like, it's still video game stuff, just has that air of like, yeah, people, you know, just being like, we're pretending that we're from the game. This feels like it's like, that's a jumping off point and we've made an actual prestige TV show here.
I agree that like very, you could see the previous trailers if you didn't know that they were HBO things as being like very well made, like fan project type things or whatever, which always have just like a little bit more of the, it doesn't look like it is a reproduction of the video game in a different medium. It is a television show.
It
that
looks
is
like
being
it's
made,
doing enough of its own thing.
About the same story.
The characters, they have arcs, they have other stuff going on.
They seem slightly different in some ways, which is good.
Yeah.
Like they have made a new thing.
Which
is what you would want from them.
I can't remember when this was out. Was this only out recently?
No.
I mean, but the casting of Murray Bartlett.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember if that's been known for a long time or I only saw it recently and I saw it in a way that made me think that was like a new rollout thing. But that might have been out there for a while.
It might be new, yeah, because there was the woman from Fargo is in it, and Nick Offerman we knew, yep, I think, before the trailer actually
He was
dropped.
In like that HBO,
yeah,
coming next year, keep your HBO subscription.
Yeah. I think we knew it was Pedro Pascal.
And Leanna Mormont.
Leanna Mormont, yeah. And Nick Offerman was like, yeah, the first things that we knew.
What about this? Season 2 mm-hmm. of The Last of Us. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's say it's a huge hit.
Yeah.
Season 2. Mm-hmm. And, you know, let's assume that they do, at the end of season 1, it's clear that it is going in its own direction.
Sure, okay.
They're not going to follow the path of The Last of Us Part 2. Mm-hmm. Season 2, Ellie and Joel on the run. We need somewhere to hide out. Oh, here we go. Perfect place to hide. An abandoned resort.
Yes.
Wipe this dust away. What does this say? The White Lotus.
Yeah. Okay.
And then cut to the music starts playing, but it's, you know, it's an intense kind of like dramatic,
right?
With that familiar sting,
or like purely acoustic guitar version, right? Like
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Jennifer Coolidge be like, she got bitten, but she's not immune, but she just didn't change.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't think these people are being very nice to me.
I'm always so hungry for
truly
flesh.
As like an art pro, like as a piece of art.
Yep.
The concept that you just start a series and it's also a simultaneous series of another series.
I'd like
is
this.
Just I mean it could never happen, but fuck, imagine sitting down to see that and just being like, that would be the most provocative piece of TV that's maybe ever been made, I think.
How about this? Joel wakes up, right? And he's the dad from Malcolm in the Middle.
He's done it.
Now this
I like.
He's
absolutely done it. Hey, perfect tweet.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell with any trailer of any show.
I'm still not convinced, personally. I do worry that it's going to be... I'm going to watch it and be like, this is a very well-filmed... direct adaption of a story I already experienced in the most immersive and emotional way I could.
There are so many more characters and stuff than show up in the game. That is the thing that makes me think, oh, they're and like the fact that they've got that, like the bits in there of like from the Left Behind DLC and it seems as though they're willing to take the best bits from it, which there's like sort of 5 or 6 real high points in the story of The Last of Us 1.
Yep.
That if you kind of push your way to each of those in whichever way you wanted, then you're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but this is the problem with these adaptations.
It will be the story from one.
Yeah.
Is who do you try and serve? Because it's like the people like us who know the story inside
cool,
and
really
out,
cool guys.
Really cool guys.
Yeah.
It's like, is it, yeah, how do you satisfy people that are just coming to this completely... no concept of it.
Yeah.
But if you just do the same story again, then it is going to be inferior to the original thing.
It's tough, right? Because I think of like book adaptations to film as like the best version of that. You know, Lord of the Rings is one of my favorite books, series, and films. And the thing with that is that you only had your imagination for the books.
Yeah.
You know, that adaptation.
You had cartoons in the 70s. You had terrible cartoons.
I did watch those,
and
audio
VHS.
Books. Mm. But yeah, like it is, it making it look real and being like, oh yeah, I can see it now, is, and perfect casting, all that kind of stuff is, elevates it and makes it separate, you know. But this, I think because you've seen it and they look like real people in the game.
Right.
I'm still a bit worried.
Yes, this is the sort of thing I have with remasters of games as well, where like Link's Awakening, for example, looks great, exact same game. So I was less interested in it, even though it was like literally just as good as the original, but with different things. But it's just the tone. If you get that right, and especially getting it to a broader audience who can't necessarily give a shit about games, which is great. Yeah.
I think it's just HBO. They're on one at the moment.
Yeah.
Like I've got a bit of faith in the fact that it's them. But I mean, you're right. There's something weird about this. Even if you've just played a game on like the PS3 or the PS2, and the graphics were kind of like relatively rudimentary, there is something about seeing that represented in quote unquote real life that actually looks less realistic to me than the kind of shitty graphic version, because I'm really aware that it's like people playing dress up trying to
recreate this. It comes
across as cosplay.
Yes.
But there is something that's like, why does this look worse? Why does this look worse than a bunch of pixels where you can still see the edges and there's maybe a bit of pop in or whatever. I don't know. It's
Maybe it's because of cosplay, because whenever you see a video game character in real life, that's the association you have of like the smell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, or having to sign up for an OnlyFans. But yeah, I don't know. I do think it'll be a good show. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying personally, I don't know if I'll have as much interest as someone who's like, loves The Walking Dead, you know, but never played The Last of Us. And he's like, oh, sick, another really, you know, high quality zombie show.
That is the thing we have that's going against it, is that we're really critical mass of zombie stuff. I really feel like that's maybe the thing that could hurt this the most in terms of people responding to it. People, I mean, yeah, people who played the games, they're going to tune in to check it out. But anyone else being like, yeah, I mean, I just watched all The Walking Dead. I just watched this.
Yeah.
But I'm out.
Also, it's a good time to catch people looking for not The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Because
there's
true.
Six spin-offs or whatever, but regular Walking Dead finished and hasn't been good for a while.
Yeah.
Make a good one. People are still hungry for it.
Fuck, I'm actually quite hungry in real life.
Are you?
Yeah.
When was the last time you ate?
I had a muesli bar for breakfast.
Oh, my God.
And it is now, for the listeners, what, like 1 o'clock or something?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No, wait. It's 3.30.
It's 3. We started this at 2.30. You've had so much time.
I got here at 2.30.
You've had a huge window.
Yeah. But
zero sympathy here.
You're a church, mate, because you've had a huge window.
fucking, what was I going to say? Some shit about...
What is this cunt? Play school?
Oh, have you...
Another big window.
Did you guys see?
What are you, the Microsoft Office?
Yep.
Because big... Oh, I don't mean Microsoft Office I mean the office
where they
Microsoft
work. Yeah, right. God, that must get confusing.
Yeah.
I'll see you back at the office.
What, do you mean Word and Excel
the
and PowerPoint?
Program that we make. The suite of programs that we develop.
Oh, look out the windows. Are you warning me about the software or... have you guys seen Chernobyl? Because that's who the showrunners of are making this. Right, yeah. Right.
Never watched it, been meaning to.
I liked it. And again, it's like a true story. It's not an adaptation of a book. Actually, it might be an adaptation of a book about it.
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, but
yeah, things that are true stories are always like, based on one article about it.
Yes.
They option the one thing that's been written.
Yeah, but I did like it. It's very dry, I thought, and very dour. Obviously, it's a tragedy thing. Mm. But if that does give me hope personally that it'll be like a good, serious show that you can, like or not based on your taste rather than the quality.
And the tone of Chernobyl was good. I just didn't find the story particularly interesting with the way they were telling it, which... is solved by having the story from The Last of Us, which I would happily... In my mind, I'm rewatching it, even though I fucking played part one again recently. But whatever.
Yeah.
It's a good opportunity to expand that story. It's not a story that you need to shave a lot off of.
Yeah.
You could... But hey, if you do need to shave a little bit off of your dick, there's a product I happen to know of that can help you do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's
off
called...
Off of your dick?
Yeah, you get hairs on your dick.
I guess, yeah.
I don't know about you specifically. I just mean the general you.
Well, I am wearing short shorts, but not quite short enough.
I ain't been fishing with you for that long. The Manscaped.
Yeah, Mr. Manscaped himself. He started a company.
That crazy old billionaire with his big monocle, one over each eye and one over the penis.
He's like Scrooge McDuck, but he dives into a pool full of pubes.
They call him Smooth McFuck because he has no pubes because he uses Manscaped.
Manfred Scape.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah,
to give him his
landing name. Strip McQuack.
Yeah, I like that.
That's all right.
Gooey, ooey.
No.
Anyway, you can use it for... Manscaped make good things. You've heard us talk about them before, and hey, we continue to because they continue to be happy with how much the message that we're sending to you resonates with you.
That's right.
You smart people are purchasing Manscaped products.
Christmas very soon.
Very
Get on
soon.
It. Makes a
really
great
soon.
Gift
yes.
to someone in the family.
The presentation is great. The little box, it's all very like nicely polished and professional looking. Like it does feel like a gift. There's gold on the box.
Oh, yeah.
Very high end.
Very
and you can tell your relative that that's actual gold.
Yeah.
It would be gauche of me to say how much this cost, but that's real gold.
Not necessarily ethical of you to do that, but like, don't lie about your Christmas presents. But
hey, who you hurting? It's a victimless crime. It's not even a crime. It's just lying.
Yeah.
Reveal what's under your tree with the product from under your tree this Christmas.
Yes.
That's in their copy. I didn't come up with that.
He's lying, folks. He's lying.
They make good stuff. It's all personal grooming products. Have a look at what they've got on manscaped.com. And then if you buy something and you use the code filthy, you get 20% off of it and you get free shipping.
I bet everyone out there has been paying a lot of shipping.
Oh, boy.
Recently.
Shipping prices are up.
Yeah.
And that's because
of inflation. And we'll talk about that more in the second half of this episode. It's all about inflation and wages. And
we briefly brought it up before, but we're really going to dive into it during the Callisto Protocol.
Manscaped,
filthy, 20% off, free shipping.
Best deal you'll ever find.
Can I say something very quickly about The Last of Us TV adaptation? One last thing.
Yeah, okay.
I was just thinking, in all the marketing, they're like, from the makers of Chernobyl and one of the makers of the acclaimed video game.
Yeah.
Which, you know, says to us, oh, well, this is, you know, that they know what they're doing. You know, they're overseeing it. But wouldn't it be funny if the sole contribution is it Druckmann?
Yeah.
Is the guy?
Right.
If his sole contribution is like, now what we do here is we have a shot where it's like, the camera's behind Pedro Pascal and he's just walking around and the camera just stays behind him for one big long shot while he just goes and, like, you know, kind of silently looks through some drawers and stuff. And they're having to go, I mean, we kind of wanted your involvement to be giving it some authenticity in terms of the world of the game. Not just
flesh out the story.
You trying to make this look like a video game. It's like, you put the fucking shot in there while I walk. You know that bit that's in the Doom movie?
Yeah.
It's like, this is the stupidest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life.
I really hate that bit. Watching the first episode being like, it was pretty good. I think you could probably highlight the objects he was about to pick up so that he could see exactly which ones he could interact with.
Because
I don't know how he's figuring it out.
Or it's like, it is like Bandersnatch where you just like watching it on HBO Max and then it's like stuff's coming up. You have to make decisions with your remote. Like, oh, God damn it. He's turned this into a fucking video game. No, it was meant to be the opposite. But hey, speaking of video games.
Well, we've played some. Do you want to hear, Tommy? Because you've not played either of these, I don't think.
I have not.
Do you want to hear about...
I don't know what you're going to say, but I've never played a video game before in my life.
Mario and Zelda.
Oh, why did I answer so early?
Callisto Protocol or Marvel's Midnight Suns? Which do you want to hear about first?
Well, I feel like you little jabberjaws have given up the ghost of Marvel Midnight Suns in our chat a little bit.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. I am more interested to hear about Callisto Protocol because I've been reading the reviews and they seem to be... The main criticism I've heard of this is that it's too similar to Dead Space. It doesn't really do anything new in this kind of area. But having never played one of those games, that kind of made me think, oh, maybe I will really enjoy this.
I see. I haven't played it yet, but I did watch a review this morning that said way more critical stuff than that.
Okay. I tuned out after the first paragraph.
So... I've also played World of Warcraft a little bit, if you want to talk about that later on. But we can maybe... Because I haven't gotten up to the expansion stuff yet.
Oh, right.
I didn't have a character ready to go over that, so... I'll keep playing it, honestly. It's got its fucking hooks back in me, and I hate it. But anyway, Callisto Protocol, if you don't know about it, it is a new game from a bunch of the people who made Dead Space. They've got a new studio now. It is very similar to it, but... The problem isn't that it's familiar or that
what
it's...
What is Dead Space for
Dead
those
Space
who don't know?
Is, so this is the thing. This game, Callisto Protocol, is a third-person shooter that plays like it's a third-person shooter that is about 13 years old. Dead Space is a third-person horror shooter from 13 years-ish ago.
Right.
One of the, like, post-Resident Evil 4, that 360 generation of, like, third-person action games that were... trying to be pretty serious, trying to be pretty dark and gruesome. Mm-hmm. The slower sort of survival horror, but it was very action gamey. There's a remake of it in January coming out too, so we'll probably talk about it a bit then.
Yeah.
But this, like, very straightforward and honestly kind of tiring type of game that got made very regularly for a period there during that 360 generation of games. You know the sort of thing I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
This feels like one of those trapped in this weird time bubble that got up-resed and is now coming out. Looking nice. And
it does look great from the stuff I've seen. I really like some of the design, the creature design and shit like that.
I think technically it looks good in-game, but I really am not liking the designs in there because it's all so grey. It's all so... like, it doesn't feel like dark and oppressive and scary. It feels boring to walk around.
That is what I heard, yeah.
And you're walking so thickly and slowly through this, like, sludgy, dull world doing really simple things. So, like, the combat is very weird where you get sort of a melee weapon that you upgrade later quite quickly and eventually you end up with some guns and stuff that you don't really use in a typical third-person shootery gunny game type of way. Most of the enemies run up on you real fast and will take a swipe from one of two directions.
Okay.
Now, those are left, and guess the other one.
Up?
Upper left.
You're wrong. Keep going over the spectrum. You've gotten halfway there. Imagine it's an odometer.
Okay.
And you started left, and then you've gone for up.
Yep.
Keep that needle going.
Down.
Go back a little. You've overcorrected.
Up.
We're talking right. So they will swing at you from the left or the right, and what you've got to do is dodge either left or right, but like kind of toward you. You, the best thing to do is to push the stick towards whichever side the thing is coming from.
Right.
So if they're attacking to your left side, you dodge to the left by just holding the left stick in that direction before they've started swinging, and then you dodge, and then dodge again, and it just is this weird like. There's old games that used to do, it's like, you know those old games where you'd just be going down a track and you had to move either to the left or the right to like dodge stuff coming at you? It's like that.
It's like Punch-Out, right?
Yes, Punch-Out. It's a great one. Yes.
Right.
You're doing Punch-Out.
Right.
And then swinging at them and then doing Punch-Out again, and you can pull your gun out and shoot them at some point. A blue thing will come up and you can shoot at them beforehand and you get like an anti-gravity weapon thing, but none of it is interesting or fun. It feels very done, and I think in a way that isn't just like, oh, because I've played Dead Space. I think in a way because this type of game, most people are likely to have played better versions of that type of thing that have evolved since then into what games are today. So like, I don't imagine that even if you've not played Dead Space, this is going to feel fresh at all.
That was the thing I heard, was like it's very similar to Dead Space in that it's dated, except in many ways it's worse.
I kind of think it's worse too, because the limb cutting stuff and all of that from Dead Space was a little more interesting, a little more like sort of dynamic, but you just know exactly what's going to happen in every scenario you get into in this.
Right.
Because it's, and you can also hold back on the stick to block, and like you can shoot at them from a distance or whatever, but it all feels so mechanical plain that it feels like playing Guitar Hero or something, but when everything's silent and you're just like, the song is just gurgling of zombies.
Right.
You know what I mean?
There's
just a clear indication of what you've got to do next.
Yep.
And very little deviation from that. And the tools you're given, so you get different types of guns that get sort of 3D printed for you from these machines around this. You're in a prison on Callisto, the moon of Jupiter.
Mm-hmm.
You're like a delivery guy who crashes because there's this revolutionary group. They try to rob you and you end up
probably
in prison.
Just bloody left a card, right? And they were mad about it.
Left
the delivery guy.
Oh.
Probably just left a little card. Sorry, I missed you. And they're like, give us our fucking package, mate. I'm right here.
You know what? Maybe I've got more sympathy for them now. But yeah,
that happened to me the other day, by the way. With Rodney Dangerfield's memoir.
Well,
I had to trek down to the fucking post office to get that.
And
I
tell you what. Okay, sorry. I didn't know if you were going to say it, so I got really scared you weren't going
to
say it.
I queued what him up. Massive, I gave him a what did you
what
say to them?
Massive doubt of my intellect. You probably wouldn't have gotten this.
I just thought
you're
you were
only reading a book about him.
Got excited.
No, I understand that. I understand the impulse.
It's
they handed over the book. You held it up in the air and said, let's all go get laid.
Oh man,
your eyes were bugging out of you.
I would say it does look good.
I do
it on the PS5.
I like the design because like the menus are like diegetic menus and stuff, right? Like all the interfaces are kind of you know, retro sci-fi, or not maybe retro sci-fi.
I tell you, I get no respect. The aliens and the Callisto Protocol, they're running away from me. All right.
Well, they're all like zombie guys, I guess. They're sort of aliens, but yeah.
Hey, come on, he's the king.
Well, you're talking evil corporation doing tests inside of a prison type of shit, which is like, again, very sci-fi cliche stuff, very zombie cliche stuff. Mm-hmm. You've got like this bland protagonist who's, flying in as this delivery guy. First time in a while, there's just been like kind of gruff guy is like the guy.
The generic Gruffman.
And he's, just not got much to
it. Gene Gruffman.
Gene Gruffman.
The Gruffalo here doesn't really have a lot to... I do like that if you swing the camera around to his face, he looks fucking stressed out all the time.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Sort of like Last of Us 2, how like after a gunfight, Ellie would look freaked out.
Yep.
More of that. We need more of that.
Yeah.
You're doing your camera and the person just stand there like... Come on.
Yeah, even Doom and Wolfenstein had the faces writing.
He'd get bloodied up.
Yeah.
Mate, bring by more. But so it looks like technically good. I think in world that design stuff just doesn't matter.
Okay.
You don't it's similar to Dead Space where like the health is on the back of your neck.
Yes.
And like your inventory will be brought up as like a hologram in front of you. Like Metal Gear Solid 5 had, like Dead Space had, like a bunch of games have done to better effect, because I think the actual stuff you're looking at in there looks real bland.
Yeah, okay.
So, and just I guess the stuff you're doing with it too, unfortunately, and like it's a shame. I'm not coming into this being like, oh, I've played a million of these games and it's my fault because I do too much and I've ruined my own life, so now I think everything's bad.
It's not like that.
Okay. So you're in denial.
It's just that it's not, it's just really not a creative game.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Is the problem.
It's a shame.
Because they're really trying but it does have technical problems on the PC and the Xbox apparently, which they've tweeted out, oh, we're going to fix it, da-da-da. PS5 has been fine. The ray tracing 30 frames per second mode looks really good.
Oh, yeah.
I've been playing with that and it's like a slow enough game that it doesn't really affect it.
Right, you don't need the performance mode.
No, and I think this is current gen consoles only. I could be very wrong in that, but either way it looks like,
yeah, I think you might be right.
It looks like what you think games should look like now type of thing. It looks good. It's just boring.
Is
the problem.
Oh, and it's super linear as well, right?
It is, and that's not if it was linear, go from this room to this room to this room, but the stuff you were doing in those rooms was more fun, then that'd be fine. But because every time you're fighting something, it's either a bigger or smaller version of like these enemies that take fucking so many hits too. Like it's the combination of having a fairly predictable and routine kind of way of fighting these enemies with them being bullet spongy,
right,
makes it like
it's just
you're
tedious.
Doing a boring thing for a long time.
Yeah.
The story's not particularly interesting. You know where it's like a lot of holograms popping up with like there's the warden of the prison being like, destiny. What is destiny? Da, da, da. Those types of fucking speeches
it's kind of
like,
getting me now. I'm interested about destiny.
It is on last gen as well.
Okay. Oh, okay, right. Well, it looks good.
You're
on
forgiven.
The next gen. I'm sorry. So yeah, you know, if you're super into this type of setting, like a kind of alien-y horror, it's not scary, but it's like horror vibe, spaceship type of thing. You might find enough there because I don't think it's like incompetent.
Right.
It's just not particularly exciting, I don't think. And you might be better if you've never played Dead Space, probably hang out for that remake and see how that goes before making a choice between the two.
That's my plan.
Yeah.
You know what?
I was really going to go in on this and then, just saw very middling reviews.
And that's the thing. It's just middling. It's not awful. And I might keep playing it because, like, there's.
Apparently it's like 8 to 10 hours. Like, it's not a really long game.
It's not. I think I'm maybe halfway through or something.
Right.
And you're doing that, when you're going around, you're picking up little voice recordings from guys down on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
They're dead. But they, in their last moments, a lot of the time, were like...
Did a podcast.
I shouldn't have come to this damn place. I knew it. Blah, blah, blah. And then it ends with them going, no!
Great.
Ah, cool
great.
And
stuff.
You can't listen to them while you're walking around. You're in the menu.
I hate that.
That's stupid.
Yeah, it's weird.
I might save my pennies and not get this one.
Yeah.
Something that I need to do because so help me God, the other night.
Yes.
I chucked a bit of money into Marvel Snap.
Oh, you did it!
You finally bit. I will just quickly say, just to wrap up Callisto Protocol thing as well. It's not, but so if you wait for like a sale type of thing, I wouldn't bother with it at full price though. But if it seems interesting to you, then it may still be, but I would hold off for it to be maybe a bit more boring than you were expecting and maybe get it on a cheaper.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be on sale. Sort of plane.
I'm sorry. How much fucking money did you ruin our society by pumping into this mobile game, you whale?
I bought a season pass for $14.95 because got the game free, spending heaps of time with it, just thought, you know what, I want to see, because I did like all of pretty much, I did all the challenges in the...
Yes.
In the last one that just finished.
The Wakanda season.
Yeah. Yep. And then the new one came up and I thought, you know what? I'll just get this and just see how it feels. Maybe, you know, it might feel different. I'm not going to make a habit out of this. And I got like two new cards and that's,
And you get, I think.
And you do get, you unlock like the little currencies and stuff.
Right.
More quicker.
Oh, okay. And I think you get access to, in the like random loot box things they have now, because that's actually the other thing we haven't talked about. They changed the way that they do upgrades and unlocks.
Okay.
So they changed it. You have like a very clear you have like a collection level. So you move along a tree. Every time you upgrade a card, based on how much you upgrade it, you move along this tree further. As you move along the tree, there's like different levels. Will be like, oh, you've reached level 42. You get 50 credits. Oh, you've reached level 48, you've unlocked a mystery card. And now they've changed it so that rather than having specific card unlocks, they're just like a loot box, essentially. Right. And you could get a card or more credits or currency. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
so
right.
That happened like
that
the last week, I think.
Oh, okay, right. But I mean, look, it is good to know that it's like pretty inessential. I mean, it just gets you access to those cards, which maybe you look at the top of the season and you go, you know what, that's the one fucking missing piece of my deck.
Right.
I'm going to spend this money on just like getting that one for the collection.
But they're not, it doesn't sound like exclusive cards to this season pass.
I think they are.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think that is the only way to get them.
That's usually the way season passes will go. Yeah. There'll be one or two things that you can only get there. Usually a lot of cosmetic stuff.
Apparently the cards themselves, because they come out in like pools and batches and shit, you can only get them in that season if you subscribe to the season pass. But after a certain point, they become
will go
part
into
of the overall pool.
Oh, yeah. So okay, it's like an early access thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's kind of nice.
I really don't like
season passes when they trade on fear of missing out type stuff.
Right. Right.
That's the most predatory version of those, I think, when it's like, this will only be around for a month, so you better fucking do it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yep. So it's nice that they're not.
It is so easy to not spend any. I just did this because I was like, oh, you know what? I've $15. I've easily gotten $15 worth out of playing this so far because it cost me nothing. So I'll just kind of, I'll see what this is like.
We all spend at least that much on Fortnite and we only play that like 5 times.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm thinking of going back in. They're in the chapter 4 now. They've that no build mode in there now.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Which would very much appeal to me.
Yes, we all hated the building,
I might get more Fortnite going.
Oh, shit.
It's a fun-ass game.
It's a fun-ass game.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, anyway, just hours a night.
Oh, man.
Hammering Marvel Snap.
I checked my screen time for the past week.
Yeah.
I've been spending, do you want to guess how many hours per day I've been spending on Marvel Snap?
Notable.
Oh, shit.
I'll give you a range.
Jump in your screen time too, Tommy, and we'll compete.
Yeah, I didn't know you could do that. I'll allow you a range if you get...
This is screen time. This is just the time for Marvel Snap. This isn't general screen time.
No, my general screen time is pretty low, but...
Other than. Yeah. I'm going to guess, and this is the average per night for the week. Is that the number I'm doing?
Yep.
4 hours.
Do you want to guess, Tommy?
That's high, but I reckon it's high. It's the sort of high where it'd be notable. That's a long time.
4 hours a day.
Because you'd be doing it while you're watching TV or movies and shit, and you watch a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going 4 hours. That's a long time, though. I might have overshot there. I might be one of those idiots on The Price Is Right. It's like $7,000, Larry. Yeah.
It's a tricycle for a child, mate.
An expensive one.
So you think 4 hours a day?
For me, yeah. Yeah.
I should have cranked it down, but that is what I've said. And I'm going to guess for you, Tommy, 2.
Yeah, I'm going to guess on average about 2 for you.
So that means yours is higher. I might be in the ballpark with 4 here.
3.5.
Whoa!
For Ben. No, for Ben.
Oh.
That's my guess for Ben.
Yeah, okay.
Well, so let's reveal.
Adam, you fell in the right range.
Okay.
The range, I guess average range is 5 hours a day.
Wow!
Wow!
Some days, six.
Holy shit.
Some days six, some days four.
Wow.
But for the past 7 days at least.
That's more than a president sleeps.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's my metric for
I wish
what
that
time
I could,
should be.
There are two things I wish. That I could see my overall play time.
And that you could get that time back.
And, no. And that I could see my win-loss record.
Oh, yeah, can you not? Yeah, that's weird.
Because I feel like I hit a point, and I had it explained to me by some of our listeners that, like, when you reach a certain point of cards that you've unlocked, like, the access to unlock, if you know what I mean. Like, if you've moved up the collection ladder to a certain point, you get matchmaked with people who are at that point too. But those people could have spent the past year or however long, 9 months playing this game.
Yeah.
Or they could have, like me, spent the last month playing this game. So you will have access to these cards, but I may not have them. These people may have them. So it gets really difficult after a certain point.
Right.
And you do have a ranked thing per season that you move up and get separate unlocks, which is good. Like, you can just play this game for a long time and unlock all this stuff. You don't have to do this pay to win stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, you'll be like, I'll be like, oh, I'm trying to get to level 40 because then I can unlock, you know, 500 credits or whatever. But I won't get there because the people in my group are so much better than me and have so many more of these cards where I'm like waiting to hopefully get in one of these even more random loot boxes.
Right.
Even mean being like, oh, at least I'll get a card at level, you know, 700 and whatever. That's taken away.
Interesting. So there is a blockage there that is trying to get you to put money in, it sounds like.
But yeah, I don't know what money's really going to do for you at that point.
Well, apart from the season pass, you can buy gold bars, and the gold bars unlock credits, and credits upgrade cards, and upgrades move you up the tree to get new cards.
Yeah.
So if you want to dump a bunch of money into the credits, like you were on like a Candy Crush or whatever, to accelerate your progress, you can.
Right.
Yeah. But you're still not guaranteed of getting those. I mean, that feels very... No. If it was just like, pay this for this card, I could see that being...
You're not guaranteed it, but as their cards are all in batches, if you do it for long enough, you will get all the cards.
Yeah, sure.
So, yeah. That's an aspect of it.
2 hours and 18.
Okay. That's, pretty normal.
Nice. Damn, I'm glad it didn't click for me because I reckon I'd be being like, 19.
It is my version of the pokies. Like,
And
thank fuck that it's not costing $1 each time to play. You know, like, it really got me.
You know, they're short little rounds. You and I've recently been having some fucking pearlers, just taking a screenshot at the end of the match where it's like, you know, you've got one of the locations is like, you know, when you play a card here, you fill this location with copies of it, and then having a card that gives the location to the right 6 extra power.
Mm.
So it's like I played that, and then it filled it up, and then it was like fucking 24, taking a screenshot and sending it to Ben and going, get a fucking load of this.
It was satisfying. And winning those first few matches, which I assume they're stacked in your favor sort of early.
I think there are bots. Yeah, I think it is like Fortnite. They chuck you some bots.
It was
definitely.
Have that good feeling early, because I did get that.
I wish you could do more with bots, because like I tried to play on a plane and I couldn't. I just wanted, this would be so perfect for just sitting here and getting harassed by my dog.
QP's showing a lot of interest in me now because I'm the only one who hasn't been playing Marvel Snap. So now I've become the alpha.
You're the alpha,
pack.
Yeah.
I've been playing World of Warcraft, QP. You've got it all wrong.
QP just pissed on the carpet and ran away.
There we go.
But yeah, Marvel games this year for me.
Marvel card games.
They're on a strike rate of 50%.
Yeah, so me and Ben have both been playing Marvel's Midnight Suns. Mm. I haven't played a super massive amount of it. Because it is
a superhero amount of it.
Hero Dreams of Sushi. It's like, it's a big, long game.
Yes.
This is Firaxis, who made the XCOM games, making a card-based, tactical sort of hero squad-based
RPG,
weird, like high school RPG.
Yes,
it's. I will say so. I'm the gameplay first. Let's talk about that.
Right. So card based, as in you get to play. And so it's set out like a tactical strategy game, like an XCOM or a Mario plus Rabbids.
You have a fairly small area,
yeah,
usually, and
free movement. It seems like, or you get to move, but it's not grid based.
You get one move. Yeah, it's not grid based at all. But like most of the time, so like you'll get a hand of cards down the bottom, which will be different attacks for each of your different heroes there. So, for example...
And not like... You don't get allocated some for every hero for every round.
You might end up with an all-blade hand.
Yes, yes. But like Edward. like Edward himself.
Or, dare I say, like Wolverine.
Now, Logan's here.
This cunny...
Don't you worry.
He is in the game.
There's a lot of superheroes in this game.
Yep.
There's a lot of the Marvel big hitters. The A-team's all here. You got your Iron Man. You got your Captain's America. You got your Captain's Marvel. You got a fucking ton of them. Your Ghost's Riders.
Yeah.
There's a ton of...
What about some of my favorites from Marvel Snap, like Lizard? Are they in there?
Lizard's not in it, but
I
he's
haven't
a villain.
Seen Lizard.
He's a villain, though, so he's not going to be on the superhero team.
There's a lot of villains who show up, and like it's...
Venom's in it.
Oh yeah,
he's in it early on. You've got a ton of so like we'll talk about the story a bit because like the actual game I'm finding really fun.
Okay. It's pretty. It's like nice and simple. It's like a little bit of a dumbed down version of even something like Mario plus Rabbids is a bit more complicated than this. But it is arena. You jump in with your team. There's several waves of enemies usually, and each turn you get to play like three cards.
Three card Monty.
Unless you use a card that gives you a playback.
You have certain number of points that each one is basically a card play.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You also have a second stat called Heroism.
Yes.
That increases based on which cards you play and what you do. And
they
some
will unlock,
cards cost heroism as well as an action point to play.
Yeah,
you get a couple of chances to discard a card and get a new one if you're not helped by it, and you get one move where there's sort of environmental objects around, so you can move a character one time in each turn and maybe put them behind a big like bin, and they'll kick the bin to whoever.
Yeah, there's a lot of bins in this game.
There's
actually
a ton of fucking newspaper of bundles and just bricks and shit around that you're chucking at people.
Yeah, you can use environmental attacks that don't cost a card, which is good.
Right.
But you'll probably have to move over there to do it, unless you can coordinate it so that one of the moves you're doing with a card action, which will, depending on the action, move your character towards whoever you're fighting and then put them at a certain angle to them where like you can kick them backwards usually.
Yeah.
A lot of the attacks have like a knockback. So if you're standing on the right side of them, you can kick them into another enemy and do damage to both.
Right.
There's like quick attacks that if you knock someone out with that attack, that you'll get that action point back.
Mm.
So there's a lot of, and it expands and you can upgrade stuff, and there's a lot of depth in the simplicity of it, similar to a Mario Rabbids thing, where once you figure out like a perfect turn, it feels great.
Right.
You're really like walloping these motherfuckers, and it feels satisfying and simple, and it's easy to understand. It's all turn based, so you've got the time to muck around with it if you want.
Yep.
And it gives you that same feeling as well of like your perfect turn, great, but if you fuck something, you're so mad at yourself. So I'm really enjoying the combat in it, the actual game and the cards and stuff. I'm having a good, straightforward time with it. It's simpler than an XCOM, but it's got a good flow to it. I think it's got the decent sort of easy to understand, but then like a lot of depth for getting real good at it.
Right.
Type of thing.
So I agree with all of that. I don't like it.
Right.
I think it's a bit.
It doesn't sound like you do agree.
I mean, technically nothing you said is wrong, you know, and I think it is taste based. I think it feels a bit simplistic and I don't feel the incentive to explore the potential depth to it. Having played, Mario plus Rabbids this year, that just nails it for me. And I did play, I think, XCOM 1 maybe. And, you know, like your Fire Emblems, like there are a lot of games like this out there now. Into the Breach for a more, you know, stripped back pixelated version. Like there are a lot of high quality tactical strategy games. And for me, this, the card aspect to it, I think detracted from it for me.
I can see that. I think that it also does suffer from taking a little too long to really, it's kind of like a millipede of a game where it takes too long before it's really got all its legs.
Oh, okay.
I'm imagining the millipede walking into the room there. And you're like,
I thought, like,
is that all its legs yet? And it keeps walking. You're like, fuck.
Jesus Christ.
Wow, this is just a hell of a leg reveal here. I thought you meant like it was the millipede was like developing and growing like in an egg or something.
Yeah. I don't really care what.
Like, it looks like a worm and it grows its legs.
If you took all the legs off of one of those animals, it can regenerate its legs.
Oh, yeah.
But then it doesn't get around to it for a while. Because, it's happy to take its time. And I think, the how much you're getting out of this will depend on a couple, just in terms of the pure gameplay. Imagine all the sound is off and everyone's blobs.
Right.
Like, just the game. I could see it being maybe oversimple, but I think that that led to me just feeling like an immediate rapport.
Yeah,
with
right.
It, you know, and right. Like the depth that it too slowly layers on is satisfying as you go on. And there's a lot of the fucking game. It's like easily like 80 hours long if you want to be. It's like a long fucking game, and I have not played anywhere near that much.
Because in between, then I guess this is still kind of gameplay that leads into the story, is like the home base shit, which is sort of personary. You're getting friendship points and stuff like that.
So that is the other half of the game, pretty much. You are almost 50-50-ish doing these missions with a pretty fun combat system, I think, card-based stuff can be divisive, but like a well-made and they knew what they were doing and it's competent and everything game that is then mixed with some of the creepiest shit I've ever seen.
It feels like an AI wrote the dialogue. It's honestly
fucking bizarre.
It feels like a bad AI wrote the dialogue, because we've been experimenting with AIs recently, and they were much funnier than this.
And this is beyond the thing of like, I realized what it is with a lot of complaints of when it's like Marvel dialogue.
Yeah.
That all of the characters are the same character.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
And I've never really thought of it in that way before, that they all have the exact same sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
The exact same level of sarcasm.
Yeah, same cadence, same intonation.
It feels like you're in one of those weird shit Doctor Who episodes where like one hive mind has taken over all these different people.
Yeah, yeah.
I am creeped out by the tone of this game with this like odd, soft Care Bears, strange friendship power aesthetic that it's got. Not aesthetic, but theme. Everyone's a fucking pussy.
Yes.
Everyone's like a loser.
Yeah, yeah.
It feels like you are in the worst board game club at the lamest high school from the worst movie. I don't understand how it's as bad as it is, because it's not even that the jokes are annoying. It's got that stuff. It's got the Marvel jokes and whatever that I don't think are any...
I think they're particularly bad.
They're not good, but it's not that bit that's doing it, is my point. Like,
a lot of the jokes don't make sense.
Right.
You know, like they're...
That is true.
They have the rhythm of a joke, but the content is not funny and doesn't make any sense. Contextually, they're always just out of context. I don't understand. Iron Man is like if someone kicked him in the head 50 times. Like, it's just... It's like Robert Downey Jr., but when he was on heroin. Like, it really does not make sense a lot of the time what they're saying.
There's a lot of those sort of jokes where it's like trying to sort of fuck with the format or whatever. Like, when a character gets introduced, you'll get this like title card for them, and it'll have like a quick little, it'll be like Spider-Man, and then a quick little description. But every one of them is so weird and
it's
so
like
bad.
Either the tense of the sentence is wrong, or the like, just what they're saying doesn't make sense.
Like the very first one you see is Johnny Blaze, Ghost Rider, doesn't like you either. It's like, well, I don't know fucking jack shit about this guy. You're not giving me any I understand that you're like, I get what he's like then. But then like when Iron Man gets introduced after that, this is like in the very intro, this isn't a spoiler. Johnny Blaze is just calling him Robo Man. So Iron Man gets introduced as Robo Man as the joke, but it just, none of it lands.
Yeah.
It doesn't work well, but, and like that is all there, but I think your mileage may vary with that stuff because it's humor, but I do think it's low quality.
Yeah, I think it's, because it's not the humor that's an issue. It is like whether or not it makes sense in English to me.
It's that all of these characters as well, outside of the humor, that is one and a badly done part of it.
Yep.
And then all the rest of the writing is so uncanny valley somehow.
Yes. Like, that's why I said like it feels like an AI wrote it. It's yeah. like technically maybe the inputs to this made sense originally and it's come out as like grammatically correct, but it's not for humans to enjoy.
There's yeah. nothing... It haven't Blade want to be your friend?
Yeah.
Feels weird.
Yeah.
And like you go fishing with him. Yeah. You do all this like Mass
Effect.
You go to
book club.
It's like...
It seems like if they had have made this sort of slightly a different thing, like not like straight up Marvel, if it was like... Marvel, you know, like there's the Teen Titans DC thing. If it
yes,
was like kind of a Marvel 100%. Version of that where it was just like slightly different aesthetic and just like leaning into it's like,
yeah.
hey, these it's these characters, but they're recontextualized as awkward teenagers. But the box art is all like,
yeah. So, yeah. and it's the fucking Wolverine and shit. Like, yeah. it's.
And the Midnight Suns are kind of meant to be not like Suicide Squad, but like. Kind of more badasses than like a Avengers or an X-Men, right?
I think
like
so.
Blade's
I'm not
on
sure
the team,
from the
right?
from the comics or anything because yeah. I know they are from comics. You're playing as like an original character,
yes,
and you make them and everything. But the I'm getting this from a review I watched of it,
mm-hmm. okay.
which is the same review where I chose the word pussies from because that's how he described the characters, and I really agreed with it, so I just took it. I wish I could remember what this channel is so that I could not be plagiarizing that, but
I think
they are pussies. They're fuck it. It's the right word to use.
It's such a great yeah. defense of plagiarism. It's like, well, I agreed with it.
I agreed with
did
it.
Did the same thing.
Yeah. But then, I can't remember to cite it.
I agree with this comedian that the joke is funny, so I said it word for word.
Exactly what you were saying about like they have like the X-Men for example to draw on
right,
as
right.
like these teens who can have this weird teen drama
X-Men
but
set in
a
school
fucking,
yeah
how old's Wolverine meant to be 150 or something he yeah. regenerates
yeah yes
and
he fought in the Civil War I think so yeah
and having Wolverine look into your fucking eyes and say thank you so much. You know what? You're a really great guy. That type of shit is so creepy.
Something yeah. about this is kind of, the way you guys are describing it. I'm into it. This just sounds like such a weird vibe.
It honestly is kind of funny. It is
yeah.
weird.
Yeah, but yeah. it sounds like it's not by design. If it was like
no, the
leaning
bits that
in
are funny
trying
aren't funny.
To be weird, like it was like, let's make this as a deliberate, like, weird, creepy thing.
It feels like it's gone through Google Translate from Russian or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
it really is... has that odd, uncanny feeling. Yeah,
it's less like the dialogue too, as in like they're saying things that make sense, but it's just like so devoid of character,
right.
so devoid of like a personality other than this one like under-personality that is seeping into all of them.
Yeah.
That
you're right. It's just they're just losers. Like, because it was like, well, they're not like a performative male feminist kind of archetype where they're like... pretending to be nice to manipulate you. They're just a loser. They're just kind of like a boring, shitty loser with
it's,
boring interests.
It's
and
fan fiction shit.
Yeah,
is what
yes,
it is. Where
it
everyone
is.
Loves the main character
yeah.
who is named Rob, so it's not the same person as who wrote the book. Their yeah. name is Bob, so it couldn't be them.
Yeah.
It's like you are this weird self-insert in someone else's fan fiction, and it feels... gross to be in it.
Yeah.
I haven't liked that part of it at all. But there's the actual game is kind of Moorish, and yeah, you're doing these like persona things where you're like, yeah, doing side things. It's there's like a hub of this Abbey.
Mm-hmm.
Where
again, just make it the fucking X Mansion, you know? Like,
yeah.
that would have played better, I think.
Or have like. Just go. You dread going there because yeah. of what's going to happen there.
Yep.
Where
yes, yeah,
you've
yeah.
got all these characters and you're going and doing their quests and like you know persona style ranking up or down mm-hmm. your relationships with these people based on the annoying things you say to them.
Which also I've don't seem to connect. Like I'll be dismissive of something that Blade wants to do and then it'll be like friendship up one. Like
oh, right.
what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So. And look, obviously, stuff like that always has some layer of subjectivity to it. So whether your tolerance for it or your enjoyment of it, people enjoy fan fiction.
Mm.
People read it.
Yeah.
You can look at the stats. So
maybe there's a real, you know, I'm sure there are big, big Marvel heads out there who are like, this is fucking awesome.
I don't know.
Iron Man's my buddy. This is what I've always wanted.
I don't know. Because it doesn't feel like Iron Man. It doesn't feel very much like the distinctive characters that we've got in the movies or even from the comics. Like the personality is different.
And there's no like friction or conflict or anything with those characters. There's obviously a big evil villain.
Yep.
But and within they're all like squabbling and quibbling all the time and they're all snapping at each other in a Marvel way of like, yeah, you would and all that like
type nice
of
hat.
But there's no actual divides between moves made or decisions taken or anything like that.
That's the worst thing about the Marvel dialogue as a trend is that every quip is there to diffuse tension, which in media you need tension, you need conflict,
and
it's so black and white in this game, especially like you said, the end of the day, all of your friends are friends and all of your enemies are enemies and that's it.
And perhaps that's a more comic booky tone that I've never been exposed to because I've never really read the Marvel comics or anything like that. So maybe you'll enjoy it if that is the case.
No, well, because like Wolverine, very specifically in the comics, like doesn't get along with anyone, makes fun of Cyclops, hates, you know, there's a lot of bristling tension.
And on a surface level, on a real skin deep level, that stuff's happening in this, but it's immediately overcome with the power of fucking friendship.
It's, and like, yeah, it's more like Xander and Buffy having a back and forth. They're friends.
Exactly.
They're just teasing each other.
Nothing's ever going to go wrong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's really peculiar.
Yeah, it's a weird game. I do suggest it's hard to convey the dialogue and the sort of writing even those like supers and intro cards, go and watch some footage of it because it's very strange.
And you're swamped with it too is the other thing to keep in mind is that you could maybe watch one interaction and be like, oh, I don't see what's wrong with this. But it's when everyone constant, is the same. Mm. Everyone is like acting real weird.
Yep.
It's like being in this strange dream. Mm. Like it really has freaked me out.
Yeah. Wow. I got that feeling. I watched a movie. I went and saw a movie. It was like a big, big budget movie where I think the editing was off and a lot had been cut out.
Right.
And it just didn't, it felt very strange to experience. It was like all the connective tissue has been lost here. There's no character building. It's just moving from plot point to plot point. And it gave me that feeling, which you don't realize a film, you know, conjures up and creates this stuff through artistry until it's gone. Mm. And you're just like, what is this experience?
Is
why do I feel this way? And it's very much that feeling in this.
It's kind of in the opposite direction where it feels like there's so much.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's so much talking all of the time.
Yes.
Everything's got to have been put in there. So like, if you're spreading people that thin, of course they're going to come up with, you know, a broken sliver of butter on your toast.
Mm.
But you want it thick and conflict heavy.
Yeah. Don't break that butter. I want broken butter.
But to be clear, you're obviously people will have different opinions about that type of thing with it.
I saw a lot of reviews that were kind of a bit dismissive of like, you know, it's not the most creative, you know, writing in the world, but it's still charming. I'm like, it's not charming. It's not charming.
Yeah, exactly. Your tolerance or appreciation or whatever for that stuff will change from person to person.
Yeah.
But I think that's what I'm trying to do is make that distinction between like, there's like the Marvel-y stuff, like we kind of talked about with God of War Ragnarok, where it's like, it's a bit too quippy, but there's still a story structure happening in that game. And there's like, even if they're all being a little jokey, they had more defined and distinct characters for the most part in that game.
Right. Or the jokes are better or it's, you know, like that's the thing with the Avengers is like, they're all quipping off each other in the films, but it's well written and it is kind of funny and you like those actors.
So right.
There's stuff to make it entertaining.
And that stuff is lower quality than normal, but there is a separate second half to it that is also there. So even if you don't mind that stuff, there is also this bizarre, like, otherworldly, dead behind the eyes.
Yeah.
Strange, semi-human characters who are really going to fuck with your brain if you're paying too much attention to them.
Yeah.
So, but the game is pretty fun.
Yeah, it's worth checking out if you like turn-based strategy games and don't hate that kind of aesthetic in terms of dialogue and stuff.
Because there's so many games that have bad dialogue and stuff, and there's so many movies and whatever, but like, I think just the fact that the ratio in this one is so massive too, that you're gonna have to deal with it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, guys, it sounds to me like they don't got this.
You've summed it up. And obviously with this sort of stuff, like everyone's gonna have their different opinions. Some people will like it more or like it even less, possibly. I think we've been pretty clear that we're not super into it. But also, to be clear, I've not played the majority of Midnight Suns.
Mm.
You know, only had time to play. I mean, if it's 80 hours, then less than that.
Yeah.
But it's not just our opinions that matter around these parts.
Mm. Yes.
And as people's mileages may vary, let's get a few revs from some of the other cars in the parking lot and see what their counters are up to.
We put the call out on Patreon for any of your thoughts on Callisto Protocol and Marvel Midnight Suns.
Yes.
So,
not a lot of people playing Callisto Protocol.
No. But here's one. Juan Bell, already platinumed Callisto Protocol. Mm. Fun game with great graphics that takes a while to get used to the combat. Not an amazing game, but I see promise for the future. Smiley face.
That's very optimistic.
Yeah, is that just... I like the idea that that's just broadly speaking.
Yeah.
I'm feeling good about the future.
Yeah. I think, that is the reaction that I sometimes have to this style of, like, cheeseburger game.
Where
if it just clicks in the right mood...
of the world.
Gotham Knights I was way easier on than if I'd have been in a different mood when I played it than I might have been.
Right.
So it sounds like one's having the sort of amount of fun that you can have with Callisto Protocol. And also that platinum, I would imagine, reflects somewhat the short
nature of the game.
Because another one from Austin, haven't played it yet, so this is from Alex, but my friend Alex called Callisto Protocol the dead space we have at home, so there you have it. That is sort of the other point of view. So those are the couple of Callistos. Thank you.
Ben Kelly, not me. I didn't just put a fake surname. Set of Midnight Suns, enjoying the card combat of Midnight Suns, but my skip dialogue button is getting a hell of a workout.
That's the I wish it was a little quicker to go through those bits, because I'm having a similar... Yeah.
Elliot J. O'Neill says, I played Midnight Suns for 20 minutes and fortunately I was able to get a full refund. Mm. And you love to hear about someone just gaming the system like that.
This gamers, baby.
Yeah.
You think they're you practiced. Make a system, we ain't going to game it?
That's right.
That's what we do. I've had a million lifetimes. I've been a Spider-Man.
Ooh.
I've been a Western guy. I've been The Last of Us.
Oh,
I've lived 1,000 lives, and you tell me I have no life? He shows what you know.
Mm.
That's me reading out old copy pastas from memory.
Thomas Kitchen. Marvel Midnight Suns is the best way they could have done this formula. Mash of XCOM and Marvel was a dream come true to me, and I had no idea how they would have implemented it in a way that worked. The cards and characters are all fun to experiment with, and the story is interesting enough that it keeps me going. The only con I have is I wish they hadn't gone with a day-to-day style or let you do more before sleeping. So, yeah, that is the persona-y aspect of it.
Yes, it is like just sort of... it annoys that completionist part of your brain where you can't do everything.
Right.
And I don't know if over the scope of the entire game you maybe can, because with Persona you could get most people up to full companionship and stuff. So maybe it's like that with this. But it isn't... it's a bit annoying. Same with Pentiment
recently
too. Anything with like a progressing time mechanic can leave you feeling, as with real life, like you're missing out on some stuff.
See,
not me, because I've lived 1,000 lives. I've been a Spider-Man.
I like that about Pentiment, because I'm always like, well, clearly I'm not meant to be able to do all of this. So I just go like, oh, well, whatever.
As long as you can switch yourself into that mode,
then
it does work. I missed that Ryan here has... another bit of Callisto Protocol.
Right.
Callisto Protocol just seems so half-baked, relying way too hard on its reputation as the real Dead Space sequel, rather than its own footing. The minute-to-minute combat is so dull that it just kills any momentum for me, and it's such a shame considering how extremely well-paced the original Dead Space, and especially Dead Space 2, was. And let me be clear, he's abbreviated them as DS, and it took every fiber of my being not to read each of those as Dark Souls. I reckon this will get washed away by the Dead Space remake in a month.
Yeah, agreed.
Pretty much agree, Ryan. Yeah. And also Midnight Suns, he's jumped in.
Yep.
This is a bloody... Ryan, you're doing the work that we're doing.
Yeah.
Midnight Suns lost me at card combat, So a bit of a difference of think, just make XCOM with Ghost Rider. Why does the game need to be a deck builder?
Yes,
just
makes, agree.
Yeah, it just makes a game that isn't the best XCOM clone and isn't the best deck builder and gets muddled somewhere in the middle.
Mm.
So I can see that also being a disappointment if you're a big COM head.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of a bit of a spread of the comments we've got. Yeah,
there's more comments there, and sorry if we, you know, don't read yours out. We're just trying to get like a broad overview of what the people are thinking.
I mean, we read them all on the Patreon.
Yeah.
And we love them, and we love people who are on our Patreon, and we love them more than anyone else in the world.
They can go to patreon.com/filthycasualspod if you want to similarly buy our love. The only way you're able to earn it from me.
That's right. My mum subscribes.
Mine doesn't. And we, yeah, Christmas is going to be pretty lonely. Anyway, so yeah, it's definitely something that it seems like a lot of people are thinking similarly about Callisto Protocol. Like, even if you're enjoying it, it's maybe not up there.
Yeah.
Yep.
But Marvel's Midnight Suns, hey, it takes all sorts.
It really does.
And I'm sure there's people who are enjoying the dialogue more than us too.
Right.
That's the point. Hey, everyone, you're allowed to enjoy whatever you want. But me, I enjoy pissing people off with my cool attitude and my ability to hate something that's made for people like me. So get off my case, dude.
You know why I prefer why I love Marvel Snap? There's no dialogue.
You get the
like the designs of the characters and stuff, and I have read a lot of Marvel comics, and there's some really good runs. But
there's a lot of obscure stuff in there where I'm like, this character looks cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to read about Sunspot because he's one of my favorite cards.
Yeah.
You know, like it's...
What's Moon Girl up to in the books?
Apparently, we'll talk about this on one of our upcoming bonus episodes, actually.
Okay. All right. We'd better wrap it up there for another week.
But a tease for a Patreon episode that's coming out in like 3 weeks.
Yeah. Patreon. Get on the Patreon.
Yes.
We've got the bonus episodes.
We'll be doing some wrap-up stuff for the end of the year. Yep. Our favorite things. Some looking forward to next year stuff as well.
Yeah.
There's Game Awards to meta.
Game Did Awards. You mention that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll be reflecting upon that.
Yep.
In nary a week's time.
I'm going to watch
filthycasuals.com.au for the links to everything that we have. Get on our videos.
Yes.
Hundreds up there.
Yes.
Lots of great stuff.
Get on our videos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give them a little look. Give them a little share. We'd really love that. We will see you next week. But until then, as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Schnicked, my friend. That's what Wolverine says when his things come out. He says, schnicked, Bob. But this time he said, my friend.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll do a different one.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.